standard grading.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I made a bunch of them mad the other day. I don't know if it was yesterday or not. I keep hearing from people. I had three people say, Coach, I shared your show with a person, and they turned it off after about 10 minutes because you said that Christians were dumb. Something like that. So I want to rephrase that. Christians are misinformed. They're not dumb. They're misinformed. It brings me great, great frustration. And I was talking before we went on the air here today. By the way, it is, Tuesday morning here, the 8th. Is it the 8th, guys?
God calls me ignorant in Hosea.
Well, not only that, Kevin, you can absolutely bring truth to people and they still won't receive it. And I'm not talking about just spiritual truth. I'm just talking about truth in their life. And you say to them, listen, if you just do this, this is what's going to happen. And they agree with you, and then they don't do that. They don't. And it just, Roger's giving me a thumbs up. You probably see that in the law practice, don't you, Roger? People, you give them advice, and they agree with it, and then they refuse to do it. It is just absolutely amazing. And, it's the same thing that we see in Romans 1 when God says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What does it mean to give them over to a reprobate mind? It's like you say, okay, well, hey, you know the truth. You're going to do what you want to do. And nothing I can do about it. That's what it means. John, you made it. That's what it means to give them over to a reprobate mind. We love to blame the devil. In fact, I'm going to talk about the devil here a little bit today. We love to blame the devil, but it isn't always the devil. It isn't always the devil. These glasses I wear, I never wear glasses. I only wear glasses to read. But I wear glasses to see the faces at the bottom of the screen there. And so if they look like chintzy glasses and all fogged up and everything, it's because they are dollar store glasses. I got a bunch of them here. Should I try these? What do you think of these out there, Michael, out in Tacoma? How about if I put the red ones on? That'd be a good one. Or I could go with the orange ones. Maybe that would be a good one to wear. Or purple. I could put my purple ones on. Or I got another one over here. I don't even know what color this is. This one's like a pink. I could wear those too. So depending on my mood, I once said I was going to start wearing them. Depending on my mood, I don't even know what mood I'm in today. Other than it's just, I just get absolutely unbelievably frustrated by the stupid. You try to help people and they just do stupid stuff. And then one of the other lessons that we have to learn, and I don't know why this one is so hard to learn. Hey, Jared, there's no such thing as sin that doesn't affect somebody else. All sin has collateral damage. And so we look at a society today where somebody sins and somebody gets hurt, and the collateral damage of that one sin just goes on and on and on because the people who are sinned against aren't smart enough to forgive. So they just carry that poison. They just spread it and spread it and spread it. And the next time they get sinned against, it falls right into that same pile of slop. And they're still mad about what they were mad about before. Now they got another mad on top of it. And it gets worse and it gets worse and it gets. And you say to somebody, well, just forgive them. Just forgive them. No! No! He didn't say he was sorry. What does that have to do with it? Forgive them. That's the miracle of grace, isn't it? I didn't deserve it. See, there wasn't anything that I could have done of the scandalous life that I lived BC before Christ. I could have apologized a million different times, and the Lord would have had every reason to hold a grudge against me. He could have said, you don't really mean it. In fact, you apologized to me, and look, you went out and did it again. You apologized for doing that, and then you went and did it again. Isn't that what we do? So he didn't really mean it. Because if he'd have meant it, he wouldn't have done that.
Well, yeah, he did mean it, but he just is freaking stupid. He can't stop doing it. I don't know why. Wouldn't life be so much easier if we just did that? If a guy said he was sorry, then stopped doing it. That would mean so much. But we don't like to do it. Hey, I know Michelle's listening up there. Hey, Michelle. I always say this. I love my wife to death. And she forgives, but she never forgets. Can anybody say amen on that one? She forgives me till I do it again, and then she reminds me, hey, you did that before.
Amen.
So I get beat up a lot on stuff I should know better than. So I'm not one to be talking to them, rearranging my glasses over here. But we live in an unbelievable world. So yesterday, Judge Moore had his hearing. I want to bring you up to date a little bit on that, as far as what I know. By the way, JR, from what I understand, there's about 200 people there. Why don't we care? Why don't we care? We got a guy who's standing up. Really, he's standing up for truth for all Americans. There's not a man like him anywhere in America that I know of, especially a guy with the authority that he carries. And he's standing up, laying his job on the line, standing up for what we all believe, the lesser magistrate, yada, 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 yada. And 200 people show up. I wonder how many people just live in Montgomery, Alabama. I wonder how many people who are my friends drove miles and hours to get down there. And there are 200, 300 people. What is wrong with us, man? What is wrong with us? Well, again, it's that same infighting, right? Some people think he's breaking the law, and you know. But, oh yeah. Hey, yeah, JR, Ted Cruz, forgiveness. That's right. And all the forgiveness there. Either way on that one, is there? Ted Cruz, if he's a good Christian guy, would forgive Donald Trump. Of course, Donald Trump hasn't asked for forgiveness. I suppose we could get on that one. Anyway, from what I understand, they presented the case yesterday to the court. It's not even a court. It's a judicial inquiry committee. It's a JIC. Roger, Roger's an attorney, so it's an organization that is put there to deal with lawyer ethics. And so they're not elected officials or whatever. They're just some hacks, probably some party hacks. And so yesterday, the Judicial Inquiry Commission heard the case against Judge Roy Moore. For Judge Roy Moore issued an order clarifying there was confusion down in the state of Alabama what to do with the Obergefell marriage decision. Judge Roy Moore issued a legal decision based totally on the law, saying, as far as I'm concerned, this is not the law down here yet. This decision affected only the five cities, or the five districts, one district, five states regarding the Obergefell decision. It was not an all-reaching. It did not change the law of Alabama, all of which is true. And until we get further clarification, homosexual marriage is not legal in the state of Alabama. Just offered a legal decision. That's all he did. And so the homos there at the Southern Poverty Law Center, which, by the way, I got so much I want to say about that. I won't. Southern Poverty Law Center, which is right there in Montgomery, Alabama, run by Morris Steeves and Mark Potok. I don't know if you guys have seen Mark Potok on TV or not. They are the ultimate decider of who's the hate group. The ultimate deciders. And they are the most, I hope this comes across right. Michael, is it okay if I just say the truth and then worry about later whether it was the right thing to say or not? Okay. They are the most God-hating, anti-Christ group of Jewish people that ever lived. Mark Potok and Morris Dees and all those guys. They hate all things Christian. That's really what the Southern Poverty Law Center is all about. They hate all things Christian. They want nothing more than to see the mention of the name of Jesus totally and completely removed from the American culture. Southern Poverty Law Center. They're the ones, when Barack Obama talks about hate groups, he got his information from the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's right there in Montgomery, Alabama. If I were to get in trouble and they were to do some research on me, you would be seeing it on CNN that they would be talking about Coach Dave, who was a member of a hate group, as specified by who? The Southern Poverty Law Center. So the Southern Poverty Law Center is the one who brought the charges to the Judicial Inquiry Commission, and then they loaded the Judicial Inquiry Commission with their attorneys. You can't make this stuff up. And the purpose of the JIC was to handle lawyers who are unethical, maybe who are stealing from their clients or having sexual affairs or doing something. It's just a disciplinary committee for the lawyers. So they bring Judge Moore before that committee yesterday, and from what my understanding is, they really weren't even able to produce any evidence at all. The other side didn't. They didn't really have any evidence. And Judge Moore, who's represented by Matt Staver, and I think it's Liberty Counsel Matt's with, laid out all this thing. Everything he did was legal. Everything he did was by the book, laid it all out there. So at the end of it, the Judicial Inquiry Commission decided, well, it needs to go to trial. So I think it's September 28th now. The judge is going to have to go stand trial. But the good thing is the trial will be evidence-based. But, Roger, I hate to tell you this. There's no justice in any of our courts. And I remember back when Dr. Ken Hovind, when he went through his mess down in Pensacola, Florida, when he won that case, it was the first case won by somebody other than the prosecution, first defendant to win a case in that courtroom in 9 years. You think that's justice? So we know this, that there are a lot of people in high positions of power that don't want Judge Moore to succeed. We know that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. I've talked about this over and over and over and over. It's a spiritual war we're fighting. And Judge Moore is carrying the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Lord. And he's taking on these anti-Christ, these God-hating communist leftists. But sadly, many of our courts are now stacked with those guys. That's why they say that we don't even understand the trouble that we are in America, because Obama has already loaded the courts. We know the courts don't make law, but let's be honest, they do. We follow it. So that's what happened with Judge Roy Moore. And hopefully September 28th, we'll have another hearing. We'll be down there again. And, you know, my buddy Cal Zastro was down there, and he handed out 100,000 plus flyers. I don't have one with me. You know what a flyer is, a piece of paper. Spelling out exactly what was going on and how they needed to come and stand for Judge Moore. Over 100,000 of them he handed out. 200 people showed up. 200 people. So it comes back again to what I was saying about Hillary and Donald Trump. We, the people, are the ultimate lower magistrate. Hayes, I'm on. I'll talk to you later. Hayes, I'm on the air. Reminds me, I'm gonna take another load of bread down to West Virginia. That's what that call is about there. Gonna do that on Thursday. So I broke my train of thought. Hayes, shouldn't have done that to me. So anyway. That's September 28th when we're going to be running down there fighting that back on that thing. And lower magistrate. I get the chance. I do. Barack Obama didn't do anything. Congress didn't do anything. The Justice Department didn't do anything. I'm the lower magistrate. I'm voting Hillary's butt out. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote her lazy butt out. She and her horn dog husband, I'm voting him out. That is the ultimate lower magistrate to me, we the people. So if we permit her to be back in that office, it's our fault because we didn't do our duty. We can blame whoever we want to blame, but in fact, it would be our fault. Cool? Anybody have anything to say on all that? That's what's going on with the judge. Roger's poking something like he's going to say something. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think what has resonated, and I've shared with some people that we've gotten from the huddle, is the idea that Trump is a sinner and Clinton, Hillary, is evil.
Worker of iniquity.
That seems right. People see that. The Christians I've talked to, that resonates with.
Yes, yes.
That there is an evil woman, evil actions. And then I've shared with people, just look at what she stands for, you know. Mm-hmm. And that seems to resonate. Dave, when you talk about why people don't get involved at any level, be it in a huddle or boots on the ground, I'm firmly convinced Satan has gotten us all so working so hard to keep our neck above the water. There's just not time. And when you throw two people working, school, volleyball, all this, the idea of involvement in any activist thing is just, it's almost hard for them to schedule it in. And I'm not saying that's good, but that's what I see.
I think that's part of it, Roger, but I think we already have a network in place to do this. And that network in place is something called the church. So we know that in a church of 500 people, not everybody could go, but maybe 20 could. They don't even talk about it. They don't even talk about them that we have a responsibility to. Jared.
Just one thing real quick. I go to a Kiwanis group, and the parents who have kids, their kids are on like 6 sports teams. Stop putting your kids on sports teams and go be an activist.
That's right. If you really want to do what's best for them, right? Say, well, I got to go watch this ball game. Really? Do you have to go watch this spelling bee at school? Fifth period? Do you go watch that too? Do you go sit in this classroom and watch this science experiment in biology? No, you got to go watch this ball game. Now, I'm one to talk because that's what I did my whole life, right, was sports. But again, it's a matter of priorities, right? It's a matter of priorities. Stephen.
I would also sit there and say that people are afraid to step out and be different.
I believe so.
They're afraid to lose the support system, the families, and et cetera around them in order to actually stand up for. If they believe in Jesus, they would rather deny him than support and stand up for his word.
Excellent, Stephen. Excellent.
See, they received Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. They put everything ahead of him. Yeah, John?
You know, Coach, can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, the people that I've talked to over the years in the church about getting involved, and these are people that claim Christ, it's boiled down to two things in my estimation. One is apathy. They simply don't care. I mean, if it's not literally on their doorstep,
yep.
They don't care. They don't care. I could be drowning over here, and they really wouldn't care.
That's right. It's truth.
And then the other, there's a level of fear there. They're just fearful. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to get arrested. They don't want to. Yep. They don't want not liked. If it's going to upset their comfort, I mean, most people like to be liked. I mean, they like it when other people like them.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if you stand out on the street corner and hold a sign of a bloody baby or you do something like that, people, they're not going to like you.
Amen.
John, amen.
And most people want to be liked. It's important for them that they get warm and fuzzy and people like them. It just is.
So, Jared, that's why the Lord said that he's going to bring He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Your enemy is going to be those of your own household. Father against mother, mother against daughter, daughter against son. This is actually living out, being played out right in front of us if we could see it. Do you want to say something, Jared?
I just got a quick little story that kind of ties in with what John said. Standing out and holding a sign. Last weekend, I paid a homeless guy to come stand and hold a sign with me. And his sign said, God detests the wicked, and he loves the righteous. And the homeless guy is holding the sign, and I'm holding the gay sign. It was awesome.
Oh, great. Oh, it's good. Good. So,
excellent, Jared.
Becoming an entrepreneur there, Jared. You're paying.
You're a little mini George Soros.
Yeah. Needs more of them. More of them there. Hey, John Brockhoff, good to see you got in there, man. I know you've been fighting to get in here for a while, so God bless you. Hey, listen, John, anybody new? By the way, if you want to listen on the phone, I'd say this every week, 605. I probably ought to put it behind me, 605-475-0017 if you have to run and you don't want to miss the rest of the show, 605-475-0017. You can listen to it on your phone for free. This is pretty interesting. Pastor Wayne's not with us today. By the way, I think there are other pastors watching. I think. That's good. It's good. Now they're going to have to decide what they're going to do with it. Hey, Jared, throw up there on that screen share. Top 12 issues churchgoers want to hear their pastors preach on. This is a great disconnect, fellas. You talk about a great disconnect. Everything we're talking about here. See, the churches down in Montgomery, Alabama should have been leading the charge on behalf of Judge Roy Moore. Their entire congregation should have been out there. But they're not out there. And why are they not out there? Well, a lot of the same things that we already spoke about, they're fearful. They're fearful of dividing their congregation. Hey, guys, listen to me. I don't want to sit in church beside somebody who thinks you can murder a baby. I don't even want to sit with them. You understand that? that division is good. Truth divides. Truth divides. And so the scripture says, can two walk together lest they agree? How can you fellowship with someone? Listen, this is not hard for us to figure out, fellas. If you're voting for Hillary and I'm voting for Trump, one of us has got a big problem. One of us does. How can I go to church with you? Sit there beside you. Worship the Lord beside you. Well, you want to kill babies. And you want to take my money, covet my money, to pay for your kids' schooling. Or you want to cover my money to pay for your food and whatever. How can that possibly be? Well, it's because, see, we've allowed church to mean anything at all. And one of the things I was really harping on yesterday, and I'm getting ready to put a show together on it, I was talking again yesterday. I don't know, did you guys see my video yesterday? Jared, maybe you can find that little short video I made yesterday. It's a minute, 30 seconds. Maybe you can get that thing ready to go, too. We have turned our nation into salvation-only gospel. The gospel of remember we talked yesterday about the gospel of the kingdom? We've turned it into a salvation-only gospel. And when you turn into a salvation-only gospel, then that means that you can go to your church and believe what you want to believe. You're saved. You're saved. You have Jesus as your Savior. Yeah, but Hillary wants to kill babies. I know, but women should have a right to choose. But I'm saved. You understand the problem that we have here? It's like when you get somebody saved, now you're supposed to make them a disciple. You're supposed to train them in the way of the Lord. And we saw in the last election, two elections ago, Barack Obama got 60% of the Christian vote. Barack Obama got 60% of the Christian vote. Why? Because they're saved. But their salvation has no application at all to their life. Minute, 30 seconds. Jared, I just produced this video yesterday. Go ahead and show this, Jared. Here on Monday morning, getting ready to head to the abortion clinic. You know, had something profound come up on our show this morning. If you're missing our show at CoachDaveLive.com every morning, man, there's some good stuff going on there. Invite you to join us, CoachDaveLive.com. But I was reading Matthew 24 where Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world and then the end shall come. And I was struck by that. I hear people say all the time, just preach the gospel, coach. Just preach the gospel. And I began to wonder, what does that mean, preach the gospel? Does it just mean salvation? Just get saved? I think one of the problems that we have in America today is so much of the gospel we preach is simply salvation. We don't preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's interesting that both John the Baptist and Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4, we find them preaching their first sermon, and their first sermon was the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Man, must be something to that. Not salvation, but the gospel of the kingdom of God, living a life totally and completely immersed in the ways of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Do some research on that one. God bless you. That's it, isn't it, guys? We don't teach the gospel of the kingdom. We teach them to get saved, but we never take them beyond that. Did you want to say something, Michael? I thought you poked at me there.
Yeah, I do. I wanted to say this, that, you know, it's the church's fault because we're always told to go get more souls and save them.
Yes.
And salvation, even the word salvation means more than just going to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus told us that the kingdom of God is at hand. Mm-hmm. Where is it at hand? It's not in heaven.
No, sir.
It's on earth.
Yes, sir.
Where is the New Jerusalem coming down to? To the earth.
Yes, sir.
So we're supposed to be heaven on earth. I mean, heaven is supposed to be inside of us. That's what he said. The kingdom of God is within. And if we're not preaching that and showing people that the kingdom of God is within them, that's where they make their decision, is inside.
Amen,
and
brother.
We share it with one another, share it in love, and our faith is walking it out.
So, Michael, when Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, all people come to heaven. That's not what it says, was it? Thy kingdom come.
You got it. Yeah, but you got. He says a little bit further. He says, "Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth."
Amen. Not,
it's already done in heaven. So
right, that's right.
Going down here.
Yes. See, we're so heavenly conscious, we're no earthly good. The idea of being saved. Just had an incident. Just gone back and forth in an incident where somebody will not forgive. And I said, listen, I know you apologized. Yeah, but they didn't apologize back. I know that. Forgive them. You're not responsible for whether they forgive you or not. Just forgive them. I know you would feel better if they said they were sorry, but they didn't say they were sorry. Just forgive them. See, that's kingdom walking. That's kingdom living, being able to forgive even though you don't really want to. And it's not because you just got to forgive them because you're a Christian. No, you want to get rid of that poison that gets – don't let not the sun go down on your wrath. You don't want to get mad and sleep on it and get up the next morning and have that witch's brew of anger when you wake up the next morning. That's kingdom living. I know this. This is shocking. Pastors don't want to divide their churches. Yet the people want the churches divided. Watch this. This is the top 12 issues there on your screen. I don't know if you can see it or not. This was done by Christian pollster George Barna, our good buddy again. Share this with your pastors. Okay, Roger? Send this to pastor. These are the top 12 issues the church wants to hear about. Number one, the church, these are Christians, want their pastor to talk about abortion, beginning of life, right to life, contraception, adoption, and unwed mothers. 91% of Christians polled said they want to know and hear more about that. Are we hearing that? Nope. Number two, George Barna polled a bunch of Christians. Said, hey, what's important to you? What do you want to hear about in church? Number two, they want to hear about religious persecution, and liberty, personal duty, and government duty, and church response, and global conditions. 86% of the people sitting in there want to hear some stuff about that. Because why? They're confused. They're hearing it from Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly, but they're not hearing it from the pulpit. Three, they want to hear about poverty, personal duty, governmental role, church role, homelessness, hunger, dependency. Are you catching a pattern here, fellas? The church wants to know how their faith applies outside the church. Number four. Look at these. These are 85%. You can't get 85% of Ohioans to root for the Buckeyes. Four, a cultural restoration. My, my, my. We don't talk politics here. Appropriate morals, law and order, defensible values and norms, and self-government. 83% of people sitting in the pew want to hear that stuff. Your pastor's talking about it? No, probably not. Five, sexual identity, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, marriage, LGBT. 82% of people going to church want to hear about it. What's the church's position? What should we do? They talking about that? I'm just loving. God is love. By the way, did you guys watch that video, that audio I sent you from Pastor Matt Tuella? Did we send that out to everybody, Jared? I don't know if we got that out or not. If you didn't listen to that, 40 minutes, man, shame on you. Number six. This one kind of makes my skin crawl a little bit, to be honest with you. Israel, its role in the world, Christian responsibility to Israel, U.S. foreign policy towards Israel and its enemies. 80% of people want to know what all this going on around this has to do with Israel. They want to hear it. Number eight, are you ready for this? Three out of four want about the role of government, biblical view, the relationship between the church and the state, our personal responsibility and the limitations. Three out of four people can't talk politics in church. Nine, bioethics, cloning, euthanasia, genetics, cryogenics, organ donation, surrogacy. Three-fourths of the people want to know about it. When's the last time you heard in your church a discussion on whether or not you should be a surrogate mother for somebody? When's the last time that came across? Number, where am I? 10, self-governance, biblical support, personal conduct, impact on freedom, national sovereignty. Wow. 10, 11, church in politics and government, separation of church and state, legal boundaries of church, resistance to government. 3/4 of the people sitting in the pew want to hear more about that, and the other 25% are freaking brain dead. And then they want to know about Islam, core beliefs, response to Islamic aggression, the threat to the U.S., peace and domestic stability. The church wants to hear that. Can somebody explain to me why we're not hearing that? Somebody help me out here.
I don't think the pastors would be able to.
I'll tell you.
Hang on, Roger. Serge is speaking. Go ahead, Serge.
I don't believe that the pastor who teach or preach on all of these subjects properly.
I don't think they're educated to do it, Serge.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they are, because they think it's doesn't have anything to do with it. There's a rapture coming. We're going to be out here. What are you going to say, Raj?
Well, I have been told that my pastor has made statements such that people have a rough week and things are rough enough out there. We want Sunday to be uplifting.
Yeah.
Now, I've not heard that directly, but that would be about that would make sense to me why we get so much of the love. It's people are having rough weeks, and we want Sunday to be uplifting.
Yeah, I believe that. Mike?
I want to say this. I don't believe in the rapture, so I'm here to work.
Me either, brother. Me too. Me too.
The thing is that most pastors, I'm sorry to say this, do not use the Holy Spirit to guide them in what they should be telling their people. Because the Holy Spirit, evidently, when we founded this nation, what is the most important group in the original setup of setting America? It was the Black Robe Brigade.
Yes, sir.
And who were they? They were pastors who preached the word in the church, and after church service was over with, they were outside in their uniform teaching their men how to use the guns and where to point them. And that's what's missing. We have lost that movement of the Spirit in us to use it and guide others, because the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth.
Amen, brother. Amen. John, you going to say something?
Yeah, Coach. I mean, the pastors I've talked to always talk about being effective and use that word often. And it's really about for them to get as many people in the door to accept Jesus. Okay. Accept Jesus.
Yep. That's right. Salvation only.
And, you know, even when they do talk about the sins of homosexuality and things like that, they'll preach an hour sermon on it, and they'll be 20 seconds, okay, homosexuality is a sin, and then they'll spend the next 59 minutes on how we love these people.
Yes.
And get them to come in and accept them and so on and so forth.
Yes.
In first case scenario, and this is the word that my pastor uses, people that accept Christ but don't live Christ-like are just loser believers.
Oh, my goodness.
They're just missing out on a better deal.
Oh, my goodness.
And he uses the word probably about every month, loser believer. Mm.
Meaning that they could have so much more, but they don't know that they could have it. Huh? But they can sit there and
off the table. We got that covered. Now you're just being a loser believer.
Yeah. Jared?
The Christian church is just disconnected from reality because it's easier.
It is. Hey, Jared, can anybody here give me one reason? One reason. I'm ready even for old John Brock off there. He can give me one reason. One reason why any Christian would ever vote for Hillary Clinton. Can somebody give me one reason? And why would a pastor not bring that up? Why would a pastor not stand in his church and say, if you are voting for Hillary Clinton, you either have a you either really, really are not understanding what's going on, or you have a deep spiritual issue. Shouldn't that be said? Shouldn't that be said? This woman wants to kill babies.
Amen, coach.
And she wants to destroy marriage. Now, can some Christian in this church explain to me why that woman would deserve a vote? That should be done in every church in America. Because I should not be sitting beside somebody in church who's voting opposite the will of what I see to be the will of God, protect babies and protect marriage. Am I wrong? The guys won't do it because of what we just said. We want to keep them all happy, and we don't want to talk about those things on Saturday, on Sunday, because they've had a bad enough week. JR, is your hand up in the air?
Yes, sir. Half of their congregations are Democrats.
They are. And they know it.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's why they don't speak to it.
That's right. That's right. But JR, how do you handle this thing we just read where all these people want it? How does a pastor handle that, you suppose? People want to hear it.
Maybe it's kind of like your congressman. All other churches are like that, but not ours.
Yeah, yeah. And they're good Democrats. JR's a good Democrat. He may vote for Hillary, and he may want to be able to kill him, but other than that, he's a pretty good guy. Play golf with him. He doesn't cuss or throw his clubs or nothing. He's a pretty good guy. He's saved, too. But do you know JR's going to heaven? And so that's where we're stuck, rather than the principles of the kingdom of God. Cool? Y'all with me? Any more on that topic? Because I want to move on to something else here real quick. I want to be able to explain maybe why we're where we are. Stephen.
I want to just share a little bit of scripture in James.
Okay.
James chapter 2, and going into talking about the rich people and not having discrimination in the church. And it says, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But yet despise the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? And it goes on, but I wanted to say that because I felt like that was a scripture you could definitely address to the bondage that we put ourselves into in the churches.
Amen, Steve.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Stephen. Hey, Matt, good to see you. And as usual, I'm heading someplace today. I don't know if you've picked up on that or not. I'm heading someplace today. And for those of you who I say so much, I can't remember whether I said it before we came on the air or not, so bear with me when I said it, about how, for the most part, Christians are really, really misinformed. We're really, really misinformed about the whole, about Christianity in general. Rush Limbaugh, I'll never forget, Rush Limbaugh said that for most people, history begins the day they were born.
What's the old guy?
And history begins the day they were born, and so therefore, that's a perspective on it. And we've lost all track of real, real church history and what people did. This has been a tag team handoff, see. It's been thousands and thousands of years this has been going on for us to get to this point. So I want to show you a video here. This is it's about 9 minutes, but it's worth it because I think it's going to bring some questions up. And I want to try to walk a little bit towards here in the next couple of days a demonic influence. I think I kind of tiptoed around that last week. One of the things that we didn't say is a lot of people are under the control of the evil one. The battleground's in the mind, see? The battleground is in the mind. And because we don't understand what's going on around us, and we don't understand that many of the people that we're talking to are influenced by the enemy, okay? Now, this video, you can see at the top, it says, Nephilim in Time Before Adam, the Fall of Lucifer. This is really, it's 9 minutes, but it's pretty good. And it's not really so much about the Nephilim and all that kind of stuff. But did you ever stop and think about what was that whole thing like, that the fall, when Satan led that rebellion in heaven? Was that allegorical, or did that really happen? And then when God created Adam, well, you're going to find out, you know, the angels were watching. And so maybe we need to go back a little bit and think about Lucifer and the power of Lucifer and how all this stuff came about and how we're dealing with something far more complicated than what we ever conceived. I'm not sure about everything in this video, okay? But it was really thought-provoking for me. It's about 9 minutes. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy?
That's Job 38.
This verse says, sons of God. Angels are the sons of God. And when the world was made, there was no man, so men were not the sons of God that this verse is talking about. The sons of God are the sons of God mentioned in Genesis 6. Angels were there when God created the heavens and the earth. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His
kingdom.
Love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So let's go back. What is an angel? An angel is a spirit made by God, because by him all things were created. Originally, they were created to worship God and obey him. Angels are invisible, but have been seen on occasion in the Bible. The Bible does not say that people become angels when they die. The Bible says nothing about baby angels. However, angels are created beings. They were not birthed, so they don't need an infant stage. The Bible also says nothing about female angels. There's no need for a female angel because they're all immortal. They do not need to reproduce with each other and make children. They're all male. Maybe people envision angels to be women, because women are more peaceful than men, but it's not what the Bible says, only what people think.
Mm-hmm. Angels
when
war.
When a group of people called the Sadducees came to challenge Jesus, asking, if a woman was married 7 times, who would be her husband in the resurrection? Jesus said, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. The following verses show that the angels are actually male. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, all of whom they chose. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them.
That's Genesis 6.
Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown.
Goliath.
When angels had children with humans, their children would grow up to be giants. Okay, back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This is continued in another book.
Jeremiah.
I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled. And all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man. And all the birds of the heavens had fled. Birds! Isn't this before God made birds? I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all the cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. Cities! Who made the cities if there was no man? God was angry? Why? The Bible doesn't talk about this in the beginning of Genesis, but God made everything, including the angels, and they were there with God, shouting for joy when the earth was made, but their creation was not specifically mentioned. According to most interpretations of the Bible, Lucifer was an angel of God. The name Lucifer means bright morning star. Lucifer was close to God, but turned from God because of his pride. Lucifer had a throne of followers, presumably in heaven and on earth. He had rebellion in his heart, and wanted to be like God and overthrow God. He was later addressed as Satan, which means adversary or opponent. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the whole world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of its prisoners? Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from the midst of you. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the people were astonished at you. You have become a horror, and you shall be no more forever. At some unknown point in time, war breaks out in heaven. The Bible says, And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Jesus said to his disciples, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When the Bible says, He shall be no more forever, that will be Satan's end. But now, Satan's not in hell. Satan has never been in hell. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, From where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. When God asks a question, it's not because he lacks information. Many times God makes statements by asking questions. And then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? Satan is on the earth, searching for people to devour, like this person, Job. He will be cast out to hell, though. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is not ruled by Satan, but it was originally made for him and his angels, not for humans, to be punished. Hell is one place where God is not, for God says, Depart from me. Satan also has angels, originally created by God, who now follow him. These angels appear to be good, just like their master. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan, still on the earth today, is called the adversary and the deceiver. He appears to be very beautiful and appealing, and in that way he deceives many. Anyone who follows in Satan's footsteps to sin, to love their own life more than God, will end up in the same place that Satan will.
That's a mouthful. Reaction?
Well put, Coach.
Well, I didn't put it. I just played it.
No, I'm talking about the video. I believe it was well put, well explained.
See, one of the things we forget, Serge, I didn't think about it. How the heck did the devil get in the garden?
Yeah, that was going to be my question, believe it or not.
How did he get there? See, this is so hard for us to fathom. There was a pre-Adam time. Now remember, there is no time outside of where we are, this time-space continuum. And so when we begin to think about time and about before Adam and all that stuff, understand there's no time in heaven. With this whole thing's going on, there's no time. And so when you step down into this earth, now you step into a time-space continuum. That's why they say that Jesus himself had to invade time. You ever heard that? He had to invade time. And the only way that a spirit can get into the world
human.
Is through a human. That's the only way that they can do it. And so this whole idea, one of the things that we're talking about, the deceptions, the misperceptions that people have, is we don't understand demonic behavior. I have another one. I don't have time to get into it. We'll get into it tomorrow. But we are foolish, guys, if we don't understand that when Paul said in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. Paul's explaining to us the spiritual realm around us that is controlling much of what we say and much of what we do. What do we say? Take captive every what? Thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. Thoughts often are coming from demonic influences. And the more we believe those demonic influences, see, I'm not talking about demon possession where a demon takes over your body. I'm talking about demonic oppression or demonic influences that we don't even understand. For instance, you see the picture of Noah's Ark, right? I saw this, it blew me away. Let's go to Genesis real quick. Got to show you this. Programming. Just programming. Where are you, Coach? What are you looking for? Noah's Ark. Where is it? Where is Noah's Ark? And somebody Google that for me real quick so I can get you there, because I want you to see something.
Chapter 6.
That's what I thought it was. Chapter 6. How many? I would often go to the class, and once I found this out, I'd go in the classroom and I'd ask kids, how many animals did Noah take into the ark? Stephen, how many animals did Noah take into the ark? We're reading, Stephen. How many animals did Noah take into the ark? It's not a trick question. How many did he take in, Stephen?
Two of every kind.
Yeah, yeah. Because you watched Disney. You watched Walt Disney. And Walt Disney showed you that little... those little animals walking on the ark, and there's Noah standing there, and he's counting them as they go by, right? That would all be well and good unless you read Genesis 6, where it says what? Where is it? 7. Verse 7. Genesis 7. You ready, Serge? Bet you never saw this. Bet you never saw it. And the Lord God said unto Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this congregation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take thee by sevens, the male and the female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two. So he took 14 of every animal, not two. 14 of the clean ones. So what am I saying? See, they plant, these thoughts get planted into our minds, and then they become truth. And so people are going to go down to this brand new Noah's Ark that's built down here, down by Brockhoff, down there in Kentucky. And they're going to go say, Damon, how did all these animals, how did they all come from just two? How did that possibly happen? Well, first of all, what are you doing? 14 of them.
Never saw that, Coach.
Isn't that unbelievable? How many other things in this Bible did we never see that we were programmed by somebody else to believe? Michael, you look like you're ready to bust. Do you got something to say?
Well, that's the truth. We aren't taught the truth, and that's where we go wrong.
That's right there.
And people do not study it on their own. They wait for somebody whom we look up to, who we put in on an image that's higher than us because they have more intelligence somehow to figure things out. And that's not what Jesus said. A person who is to be the preacher is to be one who's called by the Spirit to lead others, and then we don't put them on a pedestal. We put them in the center of our congregants or clientele, whatever you want to call it, and then they pass out the word to the others to help them. Paul tried to do that with the Corinthian church.
Yep, that's right. But, so hang on there. Stay with me just a second. So you guys don't think I'm lying. Man, we're about out of time. Verse 3. Let's go back to 7, verse 3 there. Of the fowls, also of the air, by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. Huh? Unbelievable, huh? And how about this, verse 6? And Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. My. Brockoff, what are you thinking sitting down there in Adams County? Are you hearing us okay? You got to reach up on your phone and unmute it, John. Up on your screen, there'll be a little, you touch your screen, you see a little red microphone. You touch that and it unmutes you. Little lesson here. John's trying to figure it out. Got to touch your, there it is.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, John, yeah.
Well, I was raising my hand.
I saw you.
Because I wanted to show off and tell you that I knew it was seven of every ten.
Yeah, okay, well, good. Then, most people don't, John.
But then you beat me to it.
So. Well, we're glad you're able to get in here this morning, John.
It's good to see you all.
All right. John went to Wichita with us. John's a good trooper. Hey, guys, we're down to the three-minute mark, two-minute warning here. Somebody help me wrap this thing up. Tomorrow, Jared, I want to talk about demonic influence. And see, it's not – guys, listen. It's not always some ugly animal like they've made in the movies, right? Some ugly animal. It might be, but demonic influence – the battleground's where? Take captive every thought. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, be thee transformed. How? By the way you think, the renewing of your mind. And we're going to have a hard time renewing our mind if we're believing lies, if we're believing things that aren't true. Jared, look at me. The devil's not in hell. And I hear people all the time say, go back to that devil's hell where you came from. He's not in hell. He's walking the earth. Yeah, Jared.
Well, Coach, I could say there's been times in the past year where I've had to pray for God to think for me. I'm like, look, I can't trust my own thoughts. Can't trust my own thoughts. God, do something. Do something. And that's kind of what you were saying earlier, like, you got to give everything, your own thoughts,
especially
not yours.
Especially your mind, right? That's the thing about this. Now, more of this coming up tomorrow, by the way. If there's a Holy Spirit, why do they call him the Holy Spirit? Man, there must be some spirits that ain't holy, right? There must be some other spirits. And didn't Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice and another voice they will not hear? Huh. So in other words, there must be some spirits talking to some folk. Oh, there's so much more that we need to know. We're on a journey. As a buddy of mine used to say, we are on a relentless pursuit of the truth. If it isn't true, I don't want to know it. And if it is true, I want to. Y'all with me on that? Amen, baby. That's what it's all about. Well, God bless y'all. What's 8 o'clock? Full day ahead of us. May God order your steps today, according to Psalm 37:23. Steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. Don't miss tomorrow. It's going to be great. God bless y'all.